Okay. From the CCN NFL, we have Becky Byrne, Keith Davidson, Christy Spain, Stephen Deerhake, Daniel Kalchev, Eberhard Lisse. And from the GAC, we have Frank March. From Liaisons, we have Cheryl Langdon-Orr. From Staff Support and Special Advisors, we have Bart Boswinkel, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcotte. Apologies from Martin Boyle, Patricia Poblete, Paulus Nirenda, Jaap Akkerhuis, Suzanne Riddell, Dottie Sparks-LeBlanc, and possibly Kim Davies. That's all.
Okay, do we have a quorum?
We don't need a quorum.
Okay.
We have consensus.
Well, I think you do, actually, Becky.
Let's not worry. Let's just have the discussion. We'll sort it out.
Okay. Going to the meeting reports. The first meeting report is the reports from the July 4 meeting. Has everybody, are there any questions or concerns or modifications to those?
I think we love it.
Hearing none, I'm going to assume that they're approved here. I will treat them as approved. All right. We will now move on to the revocation keeper. Bernie, is that up? Can we bring that up?
Sorry, Becky, can you repeat what document you want?
The revocation document?
No.
Okay, and I am going to turn it over to Bernie to walk us to walk us through the document.
Okay, thank you. Right. Let me. Can people actually hear me now?
Yes.
Ah. Okay. This is good then. I need a few seconds to finish getting myself sorted out here. Okay.
It's FOIG working group time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So. I guess we've got my annotated version of the document up.
Okay. Sort it out.
Has everyone seen...
Stephen, we can hear you talking in the background. I have no idea if you're talking to us, but we can hear you.
I'm sorry, we have Nigel coming on board shortly.
That's very exciting news for us all, but perhaps you could mute.
I had electrical fire here the other day, and all my telco equipment got fried, and so I had to go over to my house and bring in a rather primitive apparatus to make this phone call. So I don't have a mute button on it.
Well, then shut up.
Thanks, Keith. I'll consider
Chris.
That.
That's Chris. Okay, don't blame Keith. It's me. It's Chris. Sorry, Bernie.
No problem. So are we okay to make it all the way to Section 2, Applicable Policy Statements and Guidelines, because the other stuff is really preamble getting us ready for a public...
Are you scrolling for us or auto-scrolling? Where are we? There we go. Thank you.
Oops.
No, that's the top again.
Okay, you have to let me know when you want the document scrollable, because I'm just taking chances here.
Let him get it to where we're talking about and then make it scrollable.
Okay.
Bingo.
Applicable Policy Statement, Section 2. And
there we go. I apologize for the Nigel call.
No problem. 2111. This raises several questions under RFC 1591. So we had a slightly different text in revocation 6.0. I think the edits sort of are reasonable. I don't see that they change stuff dramatically. Everyone okay with this?
I think absent objection, we'll take it as agreed.
Agreed.
Okay. So let us sally forward then. And our next bit of yellow text will be in 2121. Again, there's been some editing versus the original points in revocation 6.0, but again, I don't see that as being significant. Everyone okay with this part, 2121?
Consent.
I'm going to assume consent, seeing no hands or and hearing no objections.
All right. Maybe we'll be on a roll. We'll do the whole document like that tonight.
Burning given the hour, I'd appreciate that.
Oh, so you're in North America right now, Stephen?
Yeah.
Okay, issues.
Becky's on board too, I think.
Yeah, I'm definitely there.
And I have waken up Nigel in the meantime.
Oh, thank you, Eberhard.
I did as well.
Maybe we can make
which unfortunately that. Might slow things down.
Okay, 222 issues considered by the working group.
Wait, we are not there. We're not scrolled. Oh wait, where are you? 222. Okay. Oh, I can scroll it now. No, can I scroll it?
What number?
222.
222.
GAC principles 205.
Yep.
I'm able to scroll, so I guess everyone else can.
There are so many things.
Where are you, Bernie?
Not everyone else can.
Bernard, where are you?
222.
Issues considered by the working group. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, wait. 222. Wait. Two. Oh, wait. You're. Bear with it. No. Oh, issue. Okay, got it.
Okay. Again, reformulating what was originally there. I don't think this is a significant change for anyone.
Yes.
Can we stop this mumbling or put it on silent, please?
I don't hear any mumbling, though, unless it's me. So let's move on to Section 3, where we start with the opening paragraph. I have the original text from Revocation 6.0, minor edits. I don't think there's anything anyone wants to worry about there. Any problems with...
Any objections? Hearing none, we'll move along.
4.0, analysis and interpretation. Again, some minor edits to make it reasonable in the context of the new document, which is, as far as I'm concerned, normal. And I would classify these as minor edits, which are normal to rewrite. Any issues with 4.1?
One question, Bernie. There had been some discussion on the list about the use of the term formal, and I thought that I had circulated another draft that dealt with that.
I'm sorry, Becky. I guess I must not be awake. I had trouble understanding the question.
I believe that Nigel had raised a question about the use of the term formal.
Oh, yes.
And I think I circulated a document that essentially took out the term formal because I didn't think it was necessary.
Okay. That's possible.
Nigel, are you on? Is Nigel on?
He's on the Adobe, but I haven't heard a thing yet, so I don't...
There you are.
No, I've been sitting listening quietly.
Okay, so, yes, I seem to remember that, but in the document we circulated for this meeting, the unannotated ones, we had left formal in there, I believe.
Right, I circulated it after we circulated this this document. So the suggestion that that I believe Nigel had raised was to take out the term formal, which I found was not problematic.
I don't have an issue with that. I don't know if
anybody... Yeah. Does anybody have an issue with taking out the term formal?
No.
Okay, no. Then let's consider that done.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I mean, what the hell does formal mean in that context? I don't get it.
You need a touch.
Stephen, that was my point.
All right, moving on, 411. We have a definition of delegation, which we did not have before, I believe.
That is correct.
Okay, so I guess we have to get agreement for this because technically it's new text. The FOI working group interprets delegation to mean the process by which the IANA operator initially delegates or transfers previously delegated responsibility for the management or the CCTLD. Over to you, Madam Chair.
Yes, that was a definition that I inferred based on the previously agreed definition of revocation. I have L, Everhart's hand, and then Nigel.
We got, like, major renumbering issues here, but we'll ignore those, but let's discuss the substance.
Correct. I did remember it to make it a little simpler. Everhart?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I have always had problems with this interpreting words to mean the same word. To mean delegation means delegation.
Okay. Nigel, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I was going to say something not exactly similar. I was going to say it's a well-known tradition in certain statutory construction or writing to drafting to do exactly what Eberhardt's complaining about. My complaint, I've got two actually. My complaint is actually using the word delegate in its ordinary English sense because... that really implies certain, should we say, how shall I put it, that the IANA has a certain role which is not agreed or is interpreted differently by different CCTLD managers. So I don't like the use of the word delegate at all in any event. The other thing that is a minor thing, I'm yet again seeing all these speech marks around words, and it causes me a problem because you normally in ordinary English, you normally put speech marks around words when it means something different from its normal meaning. So if we're using a word that we're going to use, let's just not put term quotation marks around it, please.
I have put quotation marks around them in the first instance only to indicate that they are defined terms.
We do that by italicizing normally.
Could I please, as it's Chris, can I please make a plea that I'm more than fascinated and very happy to have conversations about the use of italics and the parentheses and certain quotation marks, but really,
don't forget the semicolon.
We can take that offline, and it's format, and format we can deal with later. I'd really much rather we dealt with substance, if nobody minds.
Yeah, Chris, I disagree totally with what you've just said for a change. The quotation marks in ordinary English, as I said, not legal English, but ordinary English, normally means that you're using a word in a slightly unexpected sense that you're not meaning. And this is all about interpretation and meaning. And I mean, I've made the point, and that's all I need to do is to make the point. But actually, I think you're wrong.
Well, I've been wrong before, Nigel. I remember it was April 1977.
Does anybody have a problem with changing the original references to terms that are now in quotes to italics? If not,
that's fine.
We'll consider that done. Okay. Nigel, is your hand still up?
No, I'm doing the usual thing of leaving it up. Hang on, we get down it comes.
Okay. So the substantive issue is the word use of the word delegate. Does somebody... Does anybody have an alternative that they'd like to suggest?
Can we just, Becky, can you just tell me which paragraph are we actually looking at?
Paragraph 5, it's the highlighted 5-1-1, 4-1-2 is a substitute.
Okay.
4-1-2 is a typo in it.
412, here we go. So 511, the FOIWG interprets delegation to mean. Okay, fine. Where does the word delegation come from? Bernie, why
I
do we need to
interpret it? I believe it comes from 1591.
Well, then if it's in 1591, we need to use it, don't we? It says delegation, transfer, and revocation in 1591, and we've made a great thing about giving revocation a meaning and saying that it's been ignored up until now, and it's critically important, and that, you know, here is a process that means you need to revoke before you can redelegate. Seems to me that having done all of that, we shouldn't now abandon the word delegation, given that that is an equally important part of 1591.
Right. The objection,
no,
as I take it, is to the use of the word delegate in the definition. So we say delegation means the process by which the IANA operator initially delegates or transfers previously delegated responsibility. To me, using the term made sense because of the because it does have an ordinary meaning. Everhart, you appear to have your hand up now.
Yeah. I'm still not happy about using the same word to interpret what the same word means.
Right. So the question is...
And the ordinary meaning doesn't really say anything. What does delegation actually mean?
Nigel, do you have your hand up?
I do. Well, I should do. Well, push the button.
Okay.
You can sort of ignore what I said on the last comment. You probably would anyway. Because it didn't really add anything. But I think Eberhardt's point, which I don't disagree with, is that this is a self-referential definition, and you only resort to those when you really can't find any other way of defining something. And Chris is right. I mean, delegation is used in 1591. We deal with it in the same way we deal with words like revocation. But we've got to define it, because saying delegation is delegation, whether it's totally
isn't it the putting of the data into the database or something, and the actual putting of the name servers into the root? Isn't that it?
No, 1591 says there's a delegation and the entry into the root takes place at the same time.
So it's a decision to do that, and is it a decision to put the stuff into the root and publish the details in the IANA database?
I think it could be the designation of somebody to be responsible.
Can I just finish my point, that coming back on to Chris? The problem with delegation as a word is that it has two distinct meanings within our work, depending on context. The technical term of art, delegation, refers entirely to inserting NS records in the zone file. Carries no other external meaning than that. The ordinary plain words delegation means the giving of authority by a superior being, which is mildly problematic for some people, but as Chris rightly says, it is you.
Have I disappeared, or is Nigel?
I think Nigel has.
Well, I obviously haven't, given that I can hear you, Becky.
The higher power thing.
Yeah, exactly. At the moment he said a higher power, the NSA switched him off.
My government knows no bounds.
Indeed. I wonder whether, Bernie, do we actually need to solve this right this second on this call, or are we better to bounce some words around on the list?
I would strongly recommend we move this to the list.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Moving right along. Back to you, Bernie.
Sorry. Can I just quickly, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but I fully agree we can move it off the list. My point is that in some instances, it's not IANA handing it to somebody. It's just the other way around. And I don't want to get into debt. I just want to avoid that we have to get into that. And we can use, like in revocation, we can define it in a neutral way, and then everybody will be accepting it. And it's not that I want to have a drama. I just want to have defined in a normal way.
I understand that, Bahad. What you're saying makes sense. I'm sure we can find a way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
So, ma'am, it sounds like we'll be moving this to the list so we can actually have a discussion. And Eberhard has come up with some great suggestions recently. So, Eberhard, if you come up with another one of those, circulate it to the list, because we are going to need to get this definition nailed down one way or another.
Right.
Sure. But Daniel also commented, and Cheryl commented, and so we'll get some discussion going.
Excellent idea. All right. So, shall we proceed, ma'am?
Yes, please do.
All right. This would be section 412 from the original document. Everything in yellow, just to be clear, since there was a comment about renumbering, everything in yellow has been added to the document and has the original numbering from the document where it was brought in from. So that's why you can consider it a numbering issue, but it clearly identifies which document it came from, and it clearly identifies which section in that document it came from. So that's why the numbering may actually look a little crazy, but if you take it in the context that all the yellow stuff was added as annotation to the document and provides you a reference to the document from which it was pulled to be brought into here, then everything will be okay. So, section 412 from the document we are considering, which means it's not yellow. We have...
I think...
Pardon me?
Yeah. It seems to me that we're going to have the same issue with the use of the term transfer defined as the process by which the IANA operator transfers responsibility.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe we should just run ahead of that one and say we'll move that one to the list also.
Yep, I agree. Eberhardt, is your hand up again?
Not voluntarily. But I personally also think that I can live with IANA making a transfer. Yeah. So transfer is a little bit different from initial delegation. But we'll get a thought at it. It's not a big deal.
Okay. Nigel? We're not hearing you, Nigel.
Nigel.
Just put his hand down.
Okay, he's put his hand down, I guess. Okay, let's move on, Bernie.
Yes, ma'am. Section 413, not in yellow. There is some slightly new text here. The working group interprets the term revocation to refer to the process by which the IANA operator rescinds responsibility for management of a CCTLD from an incumbent manager.
I think that's exactly the same.
Yeah, I think I may have actually gotten carried away with cut and paste there, so on the title of the text. So,
okay,
yeah,
any
one is actually the same. Sorry about that, folks. It was late when I was doing that. All right. So any issues with that one, which is exactly the same?
Nigel's hand is up.
Yeah, this is part... you Chris will probably say this is minor, but again, it's all about subtlety here. And this applies to all the three ones we've just done, including the current one. I'm a bit uncomfortable with starting the expression with the working group interprets RFC 5091 to require the consent. The working group reinterprets the term, et cetera, revocation. It's, again, it should be stronger than that. It should be saying the meaning of term that the working group agreed was, because if you just say interprets to mean, again, it's suggesting that it's giving a slightly strained construction. I'm sure we can work on this off list, but I'd just like to put that in, as I see it in passing.
Yeah, but Nigel, just to be, if I can, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
I seem to remember us having some very long discussions with you on this regarding what we can actually do, and I think the whole notion of the working group interprets the term was the result of some of those discussions we had and sort of allowed everyone to move on and say, okay, this, since we're an interpretation working group, what we can do when we've got something is interpret, and sometimes we actually note things without interpreting them. Which was another case we had, but I'm happy to take it on the list, but I simply want to note, I think we already had those discussions and we came to that understanding when things were not clearly defined in RFC 1591. Our standard thing, if there was consensus, was to actually use the phrase the working group interprets, blah, blah, blah. Over to
I think we can probably find a slightly better phrasing, but we'll definitely take this one off the call.
Okay. I think Bernie is right that this format was adopted in response to some of those concerns. Eberhardt, do you have a comment?
Yes. we have, throughout the text, used the phrase the working group interprets RFC to mean, to require, to what, and I think we should leave it, and I think it is really starting to become obfuscation and procrastination what we're doing at the moment. I would rather prefer to move on, that we get something substantive done. I'm really starting to get upset about italics and quotation marks and words that we have agreed on is now unagreed again. I thought we had gone past that.
Okay. I appreciate that sentiment. Let's put that, the discussion of that format, on hold, and we can discuss it off list, but I do agree, Eberhard, that is a format that we had consciously adopted. So I hope we can avoid change for the sake of change. Okay, for me, with forward.
Thank you, ma'am. Moving on to section 414, not highlighted, where the IANA's operators and formal efforts to address a substantial misbehavior in quotes by CCTLD manager or persistent problems in the operation of a CCTLD are unavailing unless the manager consents to a transfer, comma, revocation is the only formal mechanism available to the IANA operator to deal with the intractable problem. So right below that, we have from analysis D10, section 514, and basically is just been cleaned up. I don't see any substantial changes there that should cause anyone any heartburn. Over to you.
I believe that is language that we had on the list in advance agreed to modify. I'm just going to go back to my... I think the language that I had proposed was where the IANA operators' informal efforts to stop substantial misbehavior by a CCTLD manager or rectify persistent problems in the operation of the CCTLD are unavailing unless the manager consents to a transfer, revocation is the only formal mechanism available to the IANA.
I don't know if it's just me, but you're breaking up very badly.
I was saying the same thing. I could not understand anything you said. Maybe you must dial in again.
Yeah. Is this better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. So I believe that the language I had circulated to address some of the questions that Nigel and Eberhard had raised on the list before was where the IANA operators' informal efforts to stop substantial misbehavior by a CCTLD manager or rectify persistent problems in the operation of a CCTLD are unavailing unless the manager consents to transfer. Revocation is the only formal mechanism, et cetera.
Now, it's a bit of a problem that we have the not the latest version on.
Yeah, but the annotated document worked with the version that was circulated to everyone as the document for this meeting, so I didn't want to change anything. So maybe what we can do, since we've got some new text because there was some issues, is we can, since we've got to go back to the list on several things anyways, and we have some significant edits in here which should address the issues. Maybe we can just move that back to the list, ma'am.
Right. We'll just note that the issue of that phrasing was a proposal on the table for that, and we'll take it off of the revised document.
Right, and it will show up in the next meeting.
Okay.
There are additional contributions in between now and then. So that would take us to the next section, if that's okay, ma'am?
Yes.
Can I just say something? Can we make maybe a deadline for comments so that gives Bernie enough time to put them all in, so that when we put a document on next time, that it's all in, so that we don't, that he doesn't have to rush the night before because there's comments coming in?
An excellent idea.
Eberhard plus one.
Well, I would say that if you don't want me to rush, my end of business Wednesday, which is basically 1 week from now, so 7 days from now, would be reasonable, because then we can package everything else and try and send it out by the Friday.
Okay.
And so, that's Friday, the week before the call.
Yes, so basically...
That's enough time for everybody to look at the final reason, but what I was meaning more was, if there is minor edits or something, what's the deadline for the last edit for you to be made without rushing, so that you can put it on the Thursday call?
So for this one, I would say 1 week before the call, we're supposed to send out the documents. And I, you know, usually to get, but we usually send them out on the Friday. So end of business
okay.
on Wednesday would be ideal.
All right. Let's do that.
Thank you, sir. All right. Moving on, if that's okay, ma'am.
Yes, please.
Okay. Not highlighted, 415. Below, we first consider 5.3 of RFC 1591, dealing with revocation for persistent problems. Then we shall consider 4 of Section 3, dealing with substantial misbehavior. So this has been adjusted, but I don't think it changes the meaning in any way. Over to you, ma'am.
Yes. Any concerns with that adjustment? Hearing none, let's move along.
Right. Section 4.2, revocation for persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain. So identical, so we won't stop with that. 4.2.1, not highlighted. RFC 1591 requires the designated manager to operate the domain, blah, 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 blah. And we've got the original text there. It's essentially identical again. I use the word essentially identical even if I find it identical, because sometimes I miss commas or there have been some minor reformatting issues with numbering, and I don't want anyone to get upset with that. So unless there are any issues, I...
No. I see no hands. Let's move along.
All right. Excellent. Sailing along. Which takes us to the bulleted points, which also are essentially identical, unless someone has some issues.
I see no hands.
I see no hands either. Moving on, 4.2.2, not highlighted. The same provision of RFC 1591 clearly contemplates revocation in appropriate cases involving persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain. And from analysis 10, we have essentially the same thing with some minor edits. Any issues with that?
No hands? Going, moving forward, Bernie?
M 4.2.3, the IANA operator has not publicly stated the standards by which it will apply the requirements set out in RFC 1591.35 to evaluate whether or not a manager is doing a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain, CCTLD, or B, there are persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain. So I noted some significant edits here from the original text, which read, the IANA contractor has not publicly stated the standards by which it will evaluate whether or not a manager is doing a satisfactory job of operating a DNS service or B, blah, blah, blah. So it's been repackaged to make it more reasonable, and although there are major edits, I do not see any significant change in the meaning. Over to you.
Yeah, that was a readability edit on my part. Any concerns? Seeing none, we'll move on.
Okay, 4231. Not highlighted. The FOI working group interprets RFC 1591 to require the IANA operator to avoid actions that undermine the stability and security of the DNS and or continuing operation of the domain. Essentially identical except for the IANA name issue. Over to you, ma'am.
Right. Now, in this one, like others, we've changed the bracketed IANA contractor to IANA operator. In accordance with Everhart's previous suggestion. Any concerns, comments? Seeing none, let's move forward.
Oh,
I see Nigel's hand. Nigel?
Yeah, it's a bit slow to respond, so as to put me off mute and to raise my hand. I know that Everhart thinks very carefully about these things, but I really don't like IANA operator when it's a term that does not exist in RFC 1591. I'm very happy, as we discussed in the past, to use the term that's in 1591 and have a definition somewhere which says this currently means IANA operator, which it happens to currently be ICANN. But when we say IANA operator in our work, when that just doesn't exist in 1591.
We have interpreted that in the document, right? In the introduction, we say we use the term IANA operator. Just trying to figure out where it is.
I mean, I'd rather say the IANA in the substance of the document and say in the definition section, this is a term in RFC 1591 which we interpret as the IANA operator, rather than using the term that's not in 1591 and saying we interpret it to mean the term that is in 1591.
Why are we revisiting something where we had consensus on?
Well, we didn't have consensus on it. That's why it's in square brackets.
No, actually.
It's in square brackets because we need to change it to one meaning, whatever we use to call it, throughout all our documents that we use the same term. I personally like the term contractor, but that's beside the point. I think we had agreed on IANA operator. I can live with it, and I remember to understand that you could live with it too. And I'm really starting a little bit getting annoyed that we revisit things that we thought we had sorted.
Well, I'm sorry that you're getting annoyed, but this is work that we're doing, and I don't remember having consensus with operator. I remember it being deferred, but maybe I'm getting forgetful in my old age.
I think that there was a suggestion that was circulated on the list prior to the last discussion.
Yes, that's correct. I don't think we had the entire group actually formally accept this through our standard structure, but it was generally agreed by quite a few people that this was acceptable.
Well, I'm prepared to be outvoted on the matter.
Okay. then let's outvote you.
Are there, maybe let's just check while we've got everyone focused on this, if there are any other questions or comments on this?
Any other questions or comments? I see none. Go ahead.
All right. So, moving on, 4232. The FOI Working Group notes that technical operation of TLDs has greatly evolved from the time of publication of RFC 1591, along with the use of the Internet, and although still a specialized field, this is standard knowledge for networking specialists and is supported by a large volume of easily accessible documentation and applications. So, basically identical to what we had in Analysis Z10 and some other versions of documents. We have dropped Section 5223. That was in Analysis V10 because it was redundant. And
right.
I don't think this should cause anyone any heartache.
Nigel, your hand appears to be still up. Do you have a new comment? Okay. Let's move forward. Yeah.
Okay. 424, in addition to the operational requirements identified above, RFC 1591-31 of identifies key requirements and necessary responsibilities of designated managers, including. So of identifies, of course, is a grammatical mistake, but we included it the way it is. And it's minor edits, and I don't see that as causing anyone any heartache.
Okay. I see no hands. Let's go.
Right. In the bulleted point, the requirement in the case of top-level domains that are country codes, that there be a manager that supervises the domain name and operates the domain name system in that country. And so the original text that we had in B10, the requirement that there be a manager that supervises the domain names and operates the domain name system in that country.
Right. This was just implementing the note.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I don't see any comments.
Okay. Next bullet point, the requirement that the manager be on the Internet with IP connectivity to name servers and email connectivity to the designated manager and its staff, and the requirement that there be an admin technical contact are the next two bullet points, and they are essentially identical to what was in Analysis V10. Any questions on that?
I see none.
Okay. Moving on, 425, not highlighted. The FOI Working Group interprets this requirement to mean, as a general rule, that the manager must confirm that, and the IANA operator must be able to validate that the administrator of the contact resides in the country or territory associated with the CCTLD. This establishes a clear intention from RFC 1591 that there be local, bracket, in the country or territory associated with the CCTLD presence. Full stop. So from Analysis B10, we have minor edits. And we have the point that from 53131 in Analysis V10 was a longer statement, and that was now broken up into two parts. So as far as I could tell, the 425 that we're looking at right now is essentially just cleaned up and arranged to be broken up into two parts. Any issues?
That was the intent. Any comments, questions? Okay.
Can I quickly come back to the IANA? I dug up the IANA operator thing and pasted it. I suggested the term of this after being tasked to do so already in late July, and we have been using it ever since. I took that to mean consensus. Not
okay.
That I'm dying in a ditch about the actual name. We can still work on what name we use, but I just wanted to make the point that we have discussed this. Bernie sent me a message that I owed him language. I provided. We have been using it ever since, and I really don't like now that we start revisiting it yet again, saying, no, we didn't consent, blah, blah. But let's take this off the list again.
Okay. We'll do that. Nigel, do you have your hand up?
I do. I've just lost access to Adobe Connect for some reason. I don't know why. But I'll make this as swift as I can. Are we at the 4.2.something which has the word contract in it yet? Or am I ahead of myself?
We are
not at...
Yeah. Over to you, Becky.
I guess the second part of this is... In other cases, a manager may have a contract that eliminates this requirement.
That's what I want to comment on at the appropriate time.
That's the next.
I think
section.
That's where we are. Yeah, the next section.
Okay, then it looks like I'm on. RSC 1591 does not refer to contracts anywhere, and I don't know where this contract thing comes from. I really don't like it at all. Because, as I've always tried to say, we're trying to interpret the existing documents we've got and not just say, well, here's an extenuating circumstances if you have a contract. That's real policymaking.
Well, all we're doing here, and the point of this, was to recognize that in the ordinary case there's this requirement, but there are... places where it may not, for one reason or another, be practical or enforceable by IANA.
No, entirely agreed, but I don't see what the references to contracts adds to the rest of the same. I agree with the whole point. I think I even contributed some or all of this at the time, but I don't see what the contract thing adds here, and I think I'm going to find it confusing. And I think it's got potential for misinterpretation down the road.
Eberhard, your hand is up.
I also find myself in agreement. I don't know where this is coming from, and especially who would that contract be with? Yeah, there is no reason, there's nothing in any document that we say that with whom must you have a contract to say you don't have to abide, but I think we should just remove that.
Okay,
if it is impractical, let me just finish. If it is impractical or impossible for the admin contact to write in the country of the territory, it is a rare instance where this happens. Antarctica, for example, is the obvious thing. So I don't think it's major issues. It doesn't contribute. It's confusing. Like I agree with Nigel on it. I think we should just remove that contract.
Okay. The proposal on the table is to remove that sentence. Any comments or objections to doing that? Okay. I don't. I am not seeing any objections to removing that sentence. So we'll do that.
Well, actually, it's not the sentence. It's just the part on. The new
text. It is the last sentence in that. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Just to be clear, we'll strike, comma, or where the operator has a contract that eliminates this requirement, but leave the rest in place.
Right. Well, the current language now is a separate sentence that says, in other cases, a manager may have a contract. But, yes, we... strike that thought and leave everything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Not highlighted 42.512. The requirement for an in-country administrative contact did not appear before 1994 when it was first introduced by RFC 1591. Therefore, this requirement may not be expected of country code top-level domains established or last redelegated before publication of that RFC. So there have been, when I note, as significant edits
Right, although that's actually not true. The language is the same. I just moved the CCTLDs that represent territories without permanent population will, by definition, not be able to meet that. I just moved that up into the previous discussion.
Yes, that is correct. You beat me to it.
Okay. I don't see any comments or hands. Let's move forward.
All right. And 426, not highlighted. Designated manager serves as a trustee for the delegated domain, but the duty serves the nation, blah, blah, blah. This is a straight quote. I did not bother to repaste it. I can't imagine everyone would have a problem since it comes from RFP.
Right.
4261. As noted in the FOI Working Group Report on Consent in RFC 1591, the term trustee is used to describe the manager's duty, etc. This is a well-known phrase which dates back to our discussions on consent and noted it as being the same from analysis V10. Are there
correct
issues?
I don't see anybody wishing to speak to this one.
Okay.
So move along.
Okay, 427, RFC 1591 requires that the designated manager have the ability to carry out the necessary responsibilities described above in an equitable, just, honest, and competent manner. Major edits because split. We need to go to section 428 to see the other part. So the original text from analysis V10, section 532 was RFC 1591 requires that the designated manager have the ability to carry out the necessary responsibilities described above in an equitable, just, honest, and competent manner. And then that second part, and gives the IN a contractor. So this section we're looking at right now, 427, is essentially the same as the first part of 532. So I don't think this should be a big issue.
Right. This is reorganization. Yep. Comments?
Can I be
questions?
Let back into the Adobe, please?
Pardon me, Nigel?
Yeah, can I be let back into the Adobe, please?
Ah.
Is somebody preventing you from joining?
No, the all the hosts have left, and that means nobody can really, and there is no presenters, actually. So Christina is actually supposed to let him in, and
never
she's not listed as being present.
Christina is not on the call anymore. She had to go to the doctor, to the physician.
Yeah, somebody must promote himself to host then.
You can't. Christina has to do it because she's the host. Okay, Bernie was host and presenter as well, but because Christina opened the call, she can't do it. It degraded the whole call, so Nigel can't be put in the call anymore in the Adobe room.
Well, that was clever.
Yeah, we'll have to put that in our procedures not to do that anymore. But I will read things for you, Nigel, and make sure that you catch up with them.
How much more have we got to do? Because I actually find it impossible to follow when it's read aloud.
Okay. Well, do you have access to the documents that were sent out? So can you bring up the annotated?
No, I don't have access to those. Everything, I'm using the Adobe room to focus on what you're focusing on the time. I'm using the iPad. Unfortunately, I don't have access to that without going up to the office, which would take me as long as the rest of the call to get there, I guess.
Sorry to hear that. Ma'am, how do you want to deal with this?
Well, we will have, I mean, this is going to be, we're going to recirculate this document again. I don't think that there are...
I'm prepared to limp on. But,
yeah, let's limp along and see if we can do that.
I'm now blind.
Yeah.
Okay, we will bear that in mind for...
Less limping, Nigel, and more staggering.
In italics, yeah. Al has a comment, I believe.
Yes, Everhart.
Since, since we are very few, I propose we come to an end. And because we had the same, we had issues in, where was it, in China with technical issues, I don't think we should do that. We should not carry on when we have got technical issues.
I'm prepared to be outvoted on that point, Al.
Well, how much longer do we have the call? Is the call set for, Bernie?
We have 53 minutes left.
It's going to be pretty hard to do anything substantive, isn't it, if some of us can't actually see what we're doing?
There is that. And the other interesting note is that if you run through the annotated document, I'm going through it now to refresh my memory, I believe we've hit all the really interesting points. Most of the other annotations essentially identical.
Well then.
So.
Okay, so how about we've agreed on a couple of changes. What we should do is take the second version that I circulated after the comments were in, make a few more changes to reflect our discussion from tonight, circulate the document quickly, and hope to get comments and discussion on the list so that we can get a final document that reflects everybody's perspective circulated next Wednesday or next Thursday.
That's the plan.
So close of business next Wednesday. Comments. Is everybody okay with that?
Yep, I am.
Okay, I think that we will take that as the plan. And then, Bernie, you and I can get together on the final document to be circulated tomorrow just to reflect the discussion so far.
Excellent. We will, let's just say that we will circulate it by Friday our time, just to make sure we've got enough time to get our ducks in a row. But yes, in the next 48 hours, we'll have a new version of this out to the list so people can comment on it, read it over the weekend, get comments in by end of business our time on Wednesday. Is that okay for everyone?
Okay, I'm going to take silence as a consensus.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Sorry about the mix-up, Nigel.
Don't worry. No worries.
We'll make sure it doesn't happen again. Okay. Oh, Cheryl, do you have your hand up? She looks like she has her hand
you.
Up.
Well, she's agreed to it.
I had to come off mute. That's the problem. I was typing in, and I think that's why it got up onto the hand up. I just wondered if you would be so kind as to put in a UTC time to the list for close of comments. You know, I know we should all know exactly what close of business in Bernie's world is, but, you know, forgive me. When I'm
okay.
In New Zealand this week, I might
forget.
So.
Good suggestion.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Thanks.
Good night, Stephen.
Bye-bye.
And Bernie. Bye.